take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Suri.
Hi, Suri.
Morena, my friend. So nice to be in studio with you today.
Lovely to have you back. Reunited. Lurgy's gone.
We're all de-lurgied, and we're so back.
Yes.
And you're coming in hot with the author of I Love Dirk.
That's right. I'm here with Chris Krause's new book called The Four Spent the Day Together, like a much less controversial title than I Love Dirk.
It's not as fun to read in a bar or a cafe.
Exactly. There's no like Instagram posts of people reading I Love Dirk in public, sadly. But this is a really great return to sort of like the auto-fictional novel that she's so well known for. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who's not familiar with Chris Krause, just sort of like achieved this cult popularity in like the 90s with her trilogy of I Love Dick, Torpor, and Aliens and Anorexia. And I Love Dick was also turned into a TV show with Catherine Hahn playing Chris Krause. I thought she did a really great job, and Kevin Bacon playing Dick. And yeah, it's just sort of like, it was like republished in maybe like the early 2010s. And half of this, like a part of this book sort of covers that period of time where she's a writer and she's achieving this newfound success for this trilogy of books that came out over a decade ago. But it was like, yeah, it's a very sort of radical look at desire and performing desire publicly and sort of this public humiliation. And, you know, I really recommend I Love Dick. So The Four Spent the Day Together is the first to come out in over a decade of not writing, and sort of chart. So it's like split into three parts that are defined both in terms of like time, but also geographically. So the first part follows her growing up. So she was born in the Bronx to two very working class parents. So her real father abandons their family, but her father Jasper sort of tries to find, he's like an enlightened soul, extremely intelligent, but having never gone through the process of university, sort of struggles to find work that really matches up with his unique set of skills. So her mother Emma, her biological mother, and Chris, who's named Kat in the book, grew up in the small Bronx apartment and then later moved to Minnesota, to this like beach town. And I think the charting of that early family life is super interesting. Like, she grows up with like a sister who has specific needs. It's like not super clear whether she has like maybe cerebral palsy. She's like a high needs kid, and so much of their life revolves around the caring of her younger sister Carla. So Kat's sort of left to be like a latchkey kid in her early teens, and we watch her sort of, you know, getting into sort of dangerous behavior. When she's like 12, 13, she's like working in a diner and hitchhiking around like rural Minnesota, going into bars with bikers. And yeah, it's all this kind of like quite precarious behavior. And then the first chapter sort of finishes off as she gets into a bit of trouble. And, you know, all this entire time, all of this escapism is really around her romanticizing this glamorous life that she wants for herself that she can't find in Minnesota. So the first part, really, you feel this like this kind of unease and this like itch of escape. And then the second part follows her as like an adult writer who's achieved success, kind of looks at like, it draws a parallel between her being a writer who's like, I don't know, maybe like semi-successful, trying to find like copywriting gigs to help sustain her life, and then sort of gets into real estate, which comes back to bite her a little bit. She's a landlord of like a duplex and then a larger complex in Albuquerque, which is like, you know, if not working class, then definitely like filled with people who live in poverty. There's like maybe 4 or 5 families to like a 2-bedroom home, and it starts causing problems for her initially in the management of these apartments, but then later on. So yeah, in like maybe 2013, I think they Scribe picked up and republished the trilogy, and so it looks at her like finding, you know, I Love Dick just sort of blew up. I think the title helped, but I also think that it was a book that maybe even before like Miranda July felt really radical in the way that it portrayed like how you know, wild and uninhibited female desire can look.
Yeah.
And right, and it was like playful and outrageous, and it just looks at this, you know, married woman, Chris Krause, who has this like massive crush on her husband's colleague Dick, and you know, is writing letters like and leaving them in public places and yearning for him even after he's like kind of disgusted with her at some, you know. And then Sylvia becomes part of this. It's, oh, yeah. What were you going to say, Millie?
I feel like a book like that will always make a splash.
Totally. Yeah. It's so
just because of the nature of it, you know.
Yeah.
People are always down for a bit of that.
Oh, totally. I love, yeah, for some reason I get like real secondhand embarrassment when I watch like Humiliation on TV, but reading it, I love to read it. Mm, and everyone else did too. So yeah, there's like social media is just like full of people and celebrities taking photos of themselves with the book I Love Dick. But as any like sort of female artist who achieves like success will probably know, is like slowly after that success comes like a picking apart of your life, and suddenly she like, you know, takes a speaking gig at a gallery that's like gentrified this neighborhood and very openly has like called to get rid of like the early the inhabitants of this neighborhood in LA. And yeah, she's asked questions about that, she's asked questions about being a landlord, all which I kind of think is like fair given she's really like modeled herself as like quite a radical feminist. But I do think, yeah, I think that the few pages in that last half of the book where she's grappling with that is so much less interesting than her sort of charting like the dissolution of her marriage with French academic, and then, you know, the dissolution again after that with her second marriage with this man Paul who's suffering from alcoholism. I think all those parts are so much more interesting than her trying to explain herself to the internet, you know. I think if she'd cut out those 10 pages it would have been so much better, but I mean it's only 10 bad pages, you know.
And that's true, that's like, it's quite a thick book, it's looking like a solid kind of 2-3% of the book It's interesting, though, that fast fame, I think, is very hard to describe how that feels to people.
Totally.
I've heard of a lot of stories of people, you know, kind of having that overnight rise and fall in popularity.
Yeah.
And just how difficult that is on a human being.
I bet it must feel, like, so tumultuous going from, like, people who adore you to sort of feeling maybe suddenly, like, you're... Yeah, the turnover between that and feeling like kind of attacked or whatever must be really hard.
Yeah, I watched The Castle last night and there was a quote in it that was, it's funny how you go from being famous one day and then you're really famous the next and then you're not.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, that sums it up.
Totally. Life changes, comes at you real fast, eh?
Yeah.
And so at the end of that part of the book, she just comes across this like crime where these 4 sort of like teens and like early 20 kids murder a 30-year-old man, and she's sort of she's sick of like using her life as fodder for her book, so she decides her next book is going to be about this crime. What motivated these kids? Who were they? Why were they, the 3 of them, hanging out with someone so old? And then the third part of the book really looks at like these 3 teens and seem to sort of mirror Chris Krause's like early teen years at the beginning of the book. So Brittany and her friends, they're between the ages of like 17 and 20. And similarly to Chris Krause, they're like itching to escape their town. And that leads them to sort of like, you know, doing lots of different hustles for money, selling weed. And then one of them, Brittany's friend, is a cam girl with Brittany, and that's how they meet the 30-year-old. And then so this becomes, like, the last half of the book becomes this really interesting take on true crime, both in terms of, like, you know, the precariousness of, like, teenagers and the hormonal kind of displacement that you experience as a young person who's forming a new identity, or wanting, like, so desperate to be escaping, but not knowing how to do it, and how that's always going to lead you towards this sort of danger. And yeah, it looks at, like, the last, like, few pages of the book are just, like, the messages that the text message records that the police have. And yeah, so it's super interesting. It's like messages that sort of look at how they, like, decide to kidnap this man, like, where maybe the kidnapping went wrong. It also sort of looks at, like, yeah, how they try to band together to, like, stop people from it's just, like, such an interesting deep dive into, like, what led to this particular crime. And yeah, Chris Krauss also talks about, I guess, the discomfort she feels as, like, a writer, mining all this information from, like, every single person in this is really vulnerable. And, you know, she, I think, sees how, like, her act of writing this true crime book also ends up being mirroring some of, like, how her life was sort of dug into by people who found out she's a landlord. Yeah, it's super interesting.
Sounds like there's a little bit of something for everyone. There's sort of the real personal drama of it all, but then the, like, the crime and the mystery and the
Which is, like, such a great way to wrap up the book. And also lots of, like, great, if you are a Chris Krauss fan, lots of great Chris Krauss lore that you'll read in here. Lots of stuff I didn't know about her before, but a lot of stuff that she touches on from I Love Dick as well. So a really great read.
Wow, this sounds like a juicy read.
It sure is.
Out on the shelves at Loose Reads, at Timeout, sorry.
Yeah, in stock at Timeout today. And also, just really quickly, I'd love to give a plug. So Saturday is bookshop day for us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you can get it for like $5 less if you come to bookshop day. So we're having like a little reading party in the morning, and then in the afternoon, like, I think the afternoon session starts at like 4 and the morning session starts at 10. So you pay $5, which you can either redeem on like a wine or on a book that you choose. And you can just sit upstairs and hang with us and read books and maybe meet people who, like, similarly interested in books, or if you just want to do some SSR, come and do that. We've got really cute little prints and a pinball machine that Bobo Draws made for us. So yeah, it'll be a fun time. Come down. I'll be there. Jenna will be there. Hit us with any of your, like, if you loved or hated, but preferably loved, anything we reviewed and you're itching to tell us.
Oh, yeah, bring the hot takes.
Bring the hot takes. We're here to listen to them.
Oh, my gosh, how cool. Stunning. That's awesome. So that's this Saturday. Amazing.
Reading rave time.
Oh, yes.
Excellent stuff, Suri. Thank you so much.
Thank you both. See you in 2 weeks.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Loose Reads.